when Denise asked me to consider speaking at this, I was, well, pretty terrified, just because it's not something I normally, you know, feel comfortable doing. Is I like to speak in small groups. I really wrestled with it, and then she sent out some emails, and I wish I knew the timing of it all, because she was sending emails, but I hadn't said yes yet. But then she was already saying what the theme was, and then she was giving some verses, and I don't know, I wish I knew the timing, because I know Michelle chose her verse, because there are all these all things verses, you know, and I'm like reading through them, and I hadn't committed, and I work full time, and I have four children, and I, you know, I could go on and on, so could all of you, I'm sure. And so I don't like to make decisions hastily, you know. I want to know this is what God has for me, and it was so precious tonight. This is this was from last year, and I don't know where you are, who handed this to me, and what I wrote was, Lord, please keep me in the center of your will, and that was my prayer from last year, and she handed it to me tonight right before and said, that your prayer's answered because you're speaking, you must be in the center of his will. I'm like, powerful. But anyway, so Michelle had chosen her verse, but I hadn't even committed yet. Then I was, and long story how the Lord had spoken to me, yes, 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 do it. And finally, so I, you know, when you email, and it's so crazy, everything's email, but anyways, you email and then you don't want to push send. Well, I did. I pushed send. And I'm telling you, I don't even know how quick Denise, like, it was like we were getting news flashes of something going on in another country or something. I don't know. Because she had flashed the Michelle chose reverse. Then it was like, just in. Jennifer is going to speak. And I was like, oh, you know, like it scared me. But then I'm looking at the verses and I'm thinking, well, Michelle already chose her verse, and I really want to do Romans 8:32, and I better hurry up and choose before someone else does. But then I thought there was something wrong with that, because I thought I was being selfish or something, because I'm thinking, I don't want any, that's my verse. I don't want anyone else to take this verse. But then I'm like, well, maybe I should wait, though, because what if it is for someone else? And sometimes it's not good to think too much. But anyways, once I chose it, and then Denise made that flash point too. Jennifer chose this one. So I'm like, because it came, you know, to my email. I'm like, I was at work, I remember, this day, because I ever so often would check my email. And I thought, oh, I chose it. And obviously it's not taken. Because I was afraid she was going to come back, sorry, it's already taken. And then I was going to say, oh, okay, what do I do now? But it came back, and so it was mine. And I was so thankful that the verse that I wanted to be mine and I was claiming to be mine was really mine. And so that's where we are tonight with that verse that I claimed that I took ownership of. And as Denise mentioned earlier, I'm sure it wasn't just smooth sailing for all of you up into this retreat. I tell you, it has been an all-out battle. I mean, to the point that I did want to hide. But I didn't know where I would hide. So, but you know, I have this picture of, like, I don't know if it's from a a video game, or maybe it was something at Disneyland where things are flying at you and you're dodging them, but they never hit you. And I think some hit me though. So I know, that it wasn't easy for most of you to probably get here, and it was a battle in your mind. It was probably a battle in your home, a battle everywhere else. But I just praise God that you, every single person in these chairs right now, is here. And, just sharing a worship together tonight, so sweet, and that we can come together, different churches, but all one body. I just think it's incredible, and thank you, Denise, for continuing to invite us. I guess we behaved last year. I don't know, though. I told someone about the rock throwing over here from last year, and that was pretty radical. But I don't think our group threw them as hard as Vista's. I think Vista's group threw them a little harder. But Romans 8:32 is where we are tonight. And one last thing. Denise asked me, I don't know if she said this exactly, but this is how I heard it. Are you going to teach the entire chapter of Romans 8? And I was like, I only chose one verse. Am I supposed to teach the entire chapter of Romans 8? So you can rest assured that's not going to happen tonight, because we would definitely be here too long. But I would like to have all of you stand and just read Romans 8:32. If for some reason you don't have your Bible, it's in your program, I believe, near the name. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let's pray. Father God, we just rejoice at your mercy, and even this, the songs of worship we sing tonight, just reminding us of your love for us, your faithfulness, the work that you have done, Lord. We just choose now to just completely focus, Lord, on you, because it is all about you tonight, and your work, Lord, your work on the cross, your work in our lives. And so we just give you the next however many minutes, Lord, and pray that you would just change us, Lord. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought about the theme, all things, over and over and over again. And even tonight, in just the short time we've been here, how many times we've heard all things or all. And I originally had thought, oh, that'd be really cool to count how many times we hear the word all. But I couldn't keep up. And it's amazing, when you just focus on one word. And I asked myself, when I read this verse and meditated on this verse over and over again, is what are the all things? And that's what's so awesome about this retreat, because we are going to find out, and that's what we're studying, and God's going to reveal the all things to us over the next couple days. I believe we have 40 hours left, maybe. So we have 40 hours to just take in whatever he has for us. And the word all and all things will become very familiar to us. But I think the all things, as just a believer, would be all things that matter, all things that build us up, all things that produce lasting, eternal fruit, all things. But with this verse that we come to, I kept looking at it and thinking, well, where do they come from? Where did the all things come from? And that's why I love this verse, is that they come with him. If you look, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's with him. We don't have to depend upon ourselves. We don't have to depend upon someone else or something else. Where we are, our circumstances. I just love that no matter where we are, God doesn't change. And I'm saying where we are spiritually, whatever state of mind we are spiritually, where we are physically, maybe we're in a whole different state. I always like the verse, I have learned whatever state I am in to be content. And over the years, my early years, it was because I really was in different United States and moving around. But now that I've actually been in the same house, amazingly, for almost 10 years, I've learned whatever state to be a little different, because it's just the cycles of life and all the different things that you deal with throughout life. But our lives may not be predictable, but with him come the all things that are going to keep us. And I love this verse because the all things are all about Jesus, and that you can't have the all things apart from him. So when we try to, have other things, if it's apart from him, we know that it's not going to be in the all things. And as this weekend continues, we'll hear and learn more about the all things. And I'm really looking forward to what everyone else is going to share with all those verses that I looked at. But I know that we can be confident that our Heavenly Father wants to pour out this weekend because of this verse that I've gone over and over, that he who did not spare his own son will bless, wants to bless, wants to reveal these all things to us, because he didn't spare his own son. And he delivered him up for us all. So not one person is left out. He delivered him up for us all. Our Father meant business. He didn't put his son on the cross accidentally. It was his perfect plan. Have you ever heard someone say or said to someone, don't get your hopes up? I, many years, lived with not ever wanting to get my hopes up, just from early in my childhood and always. My dad left when I was pretty young, and he would say he was going to meet me and take me to get ice cream, and he wouldn't show up. And so I kind of got this protective mechanism early on not to get my hopes up. And but once I met Jesus, I realized that hope's always up with God. And even though old ways, I still kind of guard myself with some things, I know that hope's always up with God because of the focus of this verse, the cross. And I see the cross and I see a perfect plan, and I value that plan, and I know that who am I to question God's plan for my life when his plan was put his only son on the cross? And you know, that's why I showed that brief clip, although it was kind of funny, you know, seeing the old pictures and hairstyles and all. but that it was the message of the cross. That was it. It was the message of the cross. I walked into a church. I was not raised in church. I never went to church. I knew nothing except that I was empty and I was going to college and I was smart and I had my everything planned perfectly in my life. I mean, it looked like I had everything going for me. If anyone met me, I was responsible. I worked hard. I paid for my own college. But I was frustrated because I knew that I wasn't fulfilled in that. And I walked into, as I shared on the video, into a church with a slideshow. I knew nothing. Like, I just kept that guy, who ended up being my husband, kept inviting everyone in this class. We were all in a college class together. And he kept inviting the whole class to church. I mean, he would like get up because we did speeches. It was a speech class. And I was always terrified because I'm not comfortable talking in front of people. And he was never terrified. But he would get up, and no matter what the topic was, he would still invite the whole class. And it almost became kind of fun because I would go to that class and I would think, okay, like we're debating whatever it was. I got to think of what we do. We debated some crazy things. How is he going to invite people to church? Like, it just was very different. I mean, I was already in my third year of college at that point, and I'd never experienced anything like that. But this other guy and I decided to go to church that night. And he was in the class too, because we were both kind of scratching our heads, and we'd talk about it, and we'd kind of wait for him to invite the people. So finally we decided that we were going to go. And so we went, and I go into this little church, never, like I said, gone to church, and they're showing the slideshow of surfers and doing all these things. And I grew up near the beach. I knew what it was like, but and then, you know, but it was the message. I mean, when Pastor Brian got up and he just said, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. I felt just this immediate tug in my heart. And because I had heard it, but I don't remember ever hearing that before. And then as I shared, and then I went forward, and I've never, ever looked back. I mean, I've just gone forward and gone forward. And that's what's so beautiful about seeing these women and the women that I mentioned, because it's so nice just to see these faces and think, all right, God is good. We're still pressing on. We're still pressing on because of him, because of his work on the cross. We're still pressing on. I picked out some verses of the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18 tells us that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And it's that power that works in us and changes us and transforms us, and why I still am standing up here, and why you guys are all here tonight is that power. Ephesians 2:16, the cross reconciles. We were all enemies of God before we encountered the message of the cross. We were reconciled. It says that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. I just love that. He put to death the enmity. No longer, that's that frustration that I felt, and I'm sure most of you felt, is that because we're enemies with our Creator. So we can maybe kind of think we're doing okay in life without Christ and seem successful, but until we know Him, there's that enmity. And the Jesus on the cross put to death that enmity. And I tell you, I memorized every single verse about peace when I came to know the Lord, because that's what He gave me. He gave me peace. It was so awesome. Like, immediately my mind just went, whew. Because my mind was always like, what am I doing? Where am I going? I'm going to college. I want to be a veterinarian. Which, nothing wrong with that. But I never became one. But I still have an animal fixation. Sorry. I have a small farm at my house right now. And we live in a very small house. He reconciles. Colossians 1:20, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Every year I used to ask my mom what she wanted for Christmas or her birthday, because just like me, when you get older, your kids ask you what you want. What do you really want? What really do we all want? I mean, we can always, when we're little, we can think of 100 million things that we want for Christmas or birthdays. I mean, and the list gets longer and longer and longer. But my mom used to always just say, peace and quiet. That's what she wanted. She had 5 kids. I was the baby. So every year she'd say, peace and quiet. I'd say, Mom, I know you want peace and quiet, but really, what do you want? She's like, peace and quiet. But seriously, I mean, peace has been a buzzword for quite a while. I think it's come back. You know, the 60s, it was very strong. But now I'm seeing a lot of peace stickers again. He made peace through the blood of His cross. I mean, really, that's it. There's no way that we're going to have peace unless it's through the cross. Colossians 2:14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. That's just such a relief that He's taken it out of the way. The handwriting of requirements that was against us. We were condemned to hell. And just like I shared on the video, that, I mean, I've never heard Pastor Brian ever again get up and say, if you don't want to go to hell tonight. I mean, that's not real typical of him or most pastors that I know, that they don't just go, well, if you don't want to go to hell, then you better come up here. But it is the truth. And hey, that's what, I mean, I would imagine, I've never even talked with him. He probably thought, what did I just say? But I'm telling you, that got my attention. And I didn't want to go to hell, even though I really didn't know what it really, I didn't grasp it completely. I heard enough people telling me to do that at that point in my life. And I knew that I didn't want to, because those people weren't very nice who told me that. So if they were telling me to go there, I didn't want to go there. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And we are that joy. We're that joy. He endured that cross for us. That joy. I mean, what else would it be? It's for us. We're his joy. I concluded in my notes here, I just said, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. When I read all of those verses, that's the only conclusion I can come up with. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. I came across Psalm 116, 12 recently, and you know, when you read, you feel like you've read the Bible so many times, but when you come to those verses and you go, wow, I think God just put that one in there because it wasn't there the last time I read it. Don't say that. I know that doesn't happen. So don't go telling people that I said that happens. But it, because I know his word is complete and it hasn't changed. And but Psalm 116:12 asks, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What shall I render to the Lord for all, there's that word again, are you counting? All his benefits toward me. And I just challenge you, what would your answer be? What do you think if he asks you that question, or you ask yourself, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. My life. I'm not a very visual person, even though I think it's because I live with one that I have become one, kind of. My husband's very, very visual. I mean, I was telling someone earlier, we were talking about note-taking, and he color-codes his notes. He color-codes everything, except his hangers, but my daughter color-codes her hangers. I just don't think that way. I guess I'm very disorganized, but I feel like when you, if you come into my house, I want at least my toilets to be clean and it to look clean, but it really isn't if you open my cabinets or look under my bed or in my closet. Today, a couple of the ladies that I came with came in my house, chowed down some food, and I thought they would have noticed my, not exaggerating, 12 loads of laundry on the couch. Clean, but on the couch, not folded. But I conveniently put a tablecloth over the laundry. So someone else was, who was talking about being messy or clean or not, because I looked at Carrie and I said, did you notice my laundry on the couch today? She said, no. I said, well, I threw a tablecloth over it. And she just said, wow, I guess I just thought someone was sleeping. But anyways, back to why I was saying this, is the organized, my husband does a Bible study, and his notes end up on an index, 3x5 index card for his entire Bible study. 3x5 index card, just choice words, color-coded. And when I was going over this Bible study with him, he's like, oh, you should color-code that and that. I'm like, ah. Because I would be going, okay, what was the orange for? I can't remember. So, although I'm not a very visual person, like my husband, I am visual with at least one thing, and that's the cross. Because I have learned in my 23 years of walking with the Lord to just see that cross. To see that cross, because the cross is my gauge. That's how I measure all things. The cross is my gauge. When I looked out my window the other day, and there was our neighbor who has a Winnebago that doesn't work, hasn't worked. Our other neighbor has two cars they've never driven in 10 years with cloths over them in the driveway. Maybe it's kind of like my laundry. They cover their cars. They have a boat they never use across the street. He has six roommates with all their cars all over the place. And they always park in front of our house, and we can't park our cars. And I looked out, and I'm like, okay, I want to get really upset here. I really want to be frustrated. But I just thought the cross. And that takes care of everything. If I think of what Jesus did on the cross, am I really going to be upset about cars and boats parked and not working? Like, that just seems so silly. And the main owner of the house is not a Christian, and we've shared with him over and over and again, and we reach out to him and we want to help him, and every time he needs prayer, he does come to us. And I just think the cross, and it pales everything we might be frustrated with. And then the cross is my guide that I follow, that's paved the way. I would not have gone all over the place like I have and listened to the opposition that I've encountered and pressed on without that cross before me. All the things that I've endured, it's because I have my eyes on that cross. And I just keep following it and knowing that he is faithful, and it's a work that he did on the cross that I'm able to just take one more step. Sometimes I drag my feet, sometimes I run, but I can take one more step because I've got that cross in my view. The cross pales our fears and failures. This is what the Lord revealed to me, is how the cross pales our fears and failures. I don't have to be afraid when I see him on that cross. I don't have to think that I failed or did something wrong when I see his work on the cross, when I see him on the cross. But then, on the contrary, the cross humbles our greatest accomplishments. When we want to think, oh, I'm kind of special. You know, I did really good. When we want to do that, I see the cross and I'm like, nothing I do. Nothing I do, Lord, unless it's for you, is of any worth. I like to think WDJD instead of WWJD. Not what would Jesus do, but what did Jesus do? And looking back to that cross, I had... In the time frame when my dad did leave my mom, I had this urgency that I wanted a cross necklace. And it's the strangest thing when you look back at my pictures, my elementary school pictures. I don't know if you all kept yours, but you know, you kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade. And the year that my dad left my mom, you can just see it on my face. My whole countenance changed. All up until then, I was just like, hee, like huge mouth, big teeth with a gap. And that year, I wasn't smiling. And I looked confused. But then the next year, I have this cross necklace on. And I remember that I just begged my mom for a cross necklace. And I don't know why. Like I said, I wasn't raised in the church. I don't remember anything, but you see that sixth grade picture of mine, and I've got this cross necklace, and I look like I kind of got some hope, you know, where the year before I looked hopeless. And then I think of when I did hear about the cross, or when people hear about the cross, and they're not accepting it, they're rejecting it. It's offensive. You don't want to hear it. And I do remember seeing pictures of the cross, and I couldn't look at it. But once you receive that work, receive Jesus and his work on the cross, it becomes something that you want to cling to. And I just see how God's hand, you know, works in since I was a little kid, you know, and thinking, why in the world did I want a cross necklace? But there's something about the cross. Something about the cross. I am so sure that we are just passing through. We are just passing through this life. And it's just going to be gone, and we're going to be in heaven, and we're going to be praising him forever and ever and ever and ever. And I'm just a pilgrim. The world behind me, the cross before me. And I feel like that's my life, and that's most of your lives. The world behind me, yeah. The cross before me, no turning back. No turning back. I've learned this in my 23-year journey. Though none go with me. And that's a hard one. Because we value friendships, we value relationships. But a lot of times, they don't go with you. There's some who choose not to go with you. Some who fall away and don't go with you. But though none go with me, what? Still I will follow. No turning back. What have I learned in this 23 years of following Jesus? It's all about Jesus. He was on the cross. Not our friend. Not our spouse. Not our pastor. Jesus. He did the work. He paved the way. I must simply follow. We make it harder than it has to be sometimes. I mean, it's like I picture Jesus when he calls the disciples. He's just like, follow me. And they just drop their stuff. And I really believe that's how it was with me. He just said, follow me. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I still am. And I can only say it's because of his faithfulness. Certainly not mine. But you know the most wonderful thing Jesus did on the cross, saved us from our sins. He declared, it is finished. He died once for all. There's that word. He died once for all, and he declared, "It is finished." Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. When we embrace that, his love demonstrated on the cross for us, we're free. We can be secure, but we need to really embrace that. And I know that I went years and years and years where I don't know if I fully embraced, and I still don't. But his absolute love, unfailing love for me, that can let me wake up every day, live my life free from, if I fail, oh well. He loves me anyways. And there's such freedom in that. One of my favorite songs, I'm going to just read to you because you wouldn't want me to sing it. "Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life. I'm in that place once again. Once again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy, and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life. Now you are exalted to the highest place, King of heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I'll marvel at your saving grace. I'm full of praise once again. Once again, I look upon the cross where you died." And I think tonight, beginning this retreat, beginning all things, we need to once again look upon the cross where he died and be humbled by that. I'm continually humbled by the cross, and I know that my life began, and your life, if you're a believer, began at the cross. That's where it all begins. In his death, we live. And you can never look back at the cross too many times. You can never focus too many times on the cross, because he is our life. He poured out his life so we could live. And our verse once again, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not freely with him give us all things?" All things begins at the cross. Let's pray. Father, we are truly humbled, just knowing that you gave your only son, that your plan was perfect to nail him to that cross, Lord, for us, for our salvation, for our justification, Lord. Jesus has become our advocate, Lord, before you. We don't have to plead our own case, Lord. If we did, we would fail, Lord, if we had to plead our cause. You do it for us, Jesus. And when we stand in your presence, Lord, we know that we're standing there in the perfect work of your son, Lord, on that cross. We know that we're standing there because of his work, and we recognize that work right now, Lord. And for those of us who know you, Jesus, we just say thank you once again. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, for getting our attention, Lord, when
we were sinners. While we were still sinners, Lord, you died for us. While we were wandering aimlessly, you woke us up, Lord, out of our stupor, so that we could know you, Lord, so we could know you forever and ever and ever and ever. And Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here tonight who doesn't know that, Lord, who doesn't know you, who hasn't claimed that work that you did for them on the cross, that they haven't identified with that, Lord, that they haven't accepted it. Lord, I just pray you would stir their hearts, Lord. I trust, God, that you already have. And Lord, we want everyone here to know that eternal and abundant life that's in you. We want everyone to have that path that you carve out before them, be put before them, so that they can know your will, Lord, in their lives, and that they can be whole and perfect and complete and not wonder or strive anymore, Lord. We thank you that you did declare it is finished, Lord, on the cross. We don't have to do anything except believe, Lord. And I thank you for helping us to continue to just go forward in the plans that you have for us. So I pray that if there is anyone here who doesn't yet know Jesus, doesn't yet know his work on the cross, and even as that night, December 7th, 1987, when I said, I don't want to go to hell. If there's anyone here tonight who's saying that, I want to go to heaven. I want to know Jesus. I want to know the hope of heaven. I just pray that you would raise your hand in this place, in the quietness of this place. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would just stir hearts, Lord, that you would draw these ladies to yourself, that you would show them the life that you have for them, Lord, that you would continue to reveal the all things to us, but may we first identify with you on the cross. And we do thank you for the cross. We're humbled, Lord, by the cross. And I would just encourage any of you who don't know Jesus that you would pray with your pastor's wife or any of the ladies that are available for prayer up front here tonight, and make this the first day of your true life in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name.